Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
So the XFL made its debut over the weekend, and so far, so good. This is a league that's already making money hand over fist. Before the first game kicked off on Saturday, the XFL ticket sales had already surpassed that of the entire season for the now defunct AAF. Now, this is a league that's already got TV contracts in place with ESPN, Fox. That means you're going to see games on FS1. You're going to see games on the ESPN networks. You're going to see games on ABC. So the TV contracts are in place. The capital's in place. The ticket sales are in place. You've got guys like Bob Stoops roaming the sidelines. This is a league that's going to be around for a little bit. It's already more viable than the AAF ever was after just one weekend. Actually, before kickoff of opening weekend, it's already more viable. It was already more viable than what we saw from the AAF. The mistake that the AAF made was they thought that they could get things rolling, money would start coming in, and that would help them with the capital that they didn't have. The XFL came in with capital. The XFL came in with capital for days. The XFL came in already with TV contracts in place, and the XFL came in already with notable guys on the sidelines. So this is a league that's not, I saw some of the opinions on Twitter, social media, saying, yeah, you know, good opening weekend, interest is there because the Super Bowl was the weekend before. But as the hot stove league, you know, turns into the summer league or the spring ball for baseball, and then all that stuff as April approaches and baseball gets, it's always baseball. And this league won't make it. Spring football leagues don't make it. This one has a chance. It has a chance, and it's going to be around for a little bit. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, do we like the product? Is it good enough football for us to get on board with? More than just, you know, popping out your phone and checking the score, do we hunger enough for football that we'd actually sit down and watch these games? And when you look at the ratings for the opening weekend, as expected, yeah, the answer is yes. Now, again, the AAF had pretty decent ratings when it opened up. But this is a different product. And it's a better product. It's not the NFL. I'll get there in just a second. It's not the NFL. But it is a better product than what the AAF put out last year. Now, there are some people who want to compare everything to the NFL when it comes to football. And there is no comparison. I'm going to give you that argument. I'm not even going to try. Is there NFL talent in the XFL? I believe so. You've got guys who were former NFL players, now just trying to ride out the last bit of football that they have left into them. You know, Landry Jones is an example of that. But Landry Jones, he was an NFL caliber player. He wasn't a superstar, but he's tenured in the league. He was in there long enough to draw pension when time comes. Landry Jones is just trying to ride out the last ounce of football he has left in him. And then there's guys that, for whatever reason, be it injury, be it small college, be it whatever, They haven't had a shot at the NFL yet. A decent shot. Outside of a camp invite here and there. And again, I'll pull on another Oklahoma name and tell you about Jordan Smallwood. Jordan Smallwood had a great, great debut to the XFL. And I believe if he's able to continue to produce on that type of level, you're going to see Jordan Smallwood in someone's camp this summer. The XFL ends in April. You're probably going to see him in some mini camps. Someone's going to, if he continues to do what he did on the opening weekend, someone's going to take a flyer on him. And here's the thing about the XFL that we got to acknowledge, whether you like the product or you don't, what you have to acknowledge is there were a ton of NFL scouts tuning into these games. And I think there'll be that trend will continue. Free agency is about to heat up in the NFL. Guys are going to start being on the move. Roster spots for cheap need to be filled. The NFL scouts are going to be watching this product to see if there's anything there that they can cherry pick out of it. And I think that may be where the future of the XFL is. Again, we're talking about a league that's got TV contracts. We're talking about a league that's got notoriety in the coaching positions. And we're talking about a league that came in with capital. So why not have the XFL be what they thought the AAF would be, which is a minor league franchise for the National Football League? It works in basketball with the D League. It works in baseball. You got your independents, you got single A, double A, triple A. There's no reason why it can't be a viable option to work for football. And I know everybody, well, college football, that's the farm league. But here's what's great about the XFL. You see a player you like Jordan Smallwood, you don't have to draft him. You don't have to compete with 32 other teams in a draft format. You can approach Jordan Smallwood and say, hey, man, we'd like to give you an invite to our mini camp in May. Can you come? See, that's something that the XFL will have over the college football world. And for the product itself, look, kudos to the powers that be with the XFL. They are not trying to duplicate the NFL. Even the Canadian Football League doesn't do that. You've got a different size field. You got goalposts at different angles. I guess distance is not angles. And the XFL is taking kind of that momentum or that mindset. It's the basic concepts of football that we're all used to. You don't have to question us 3rd and 5. You know what that means. A field goal. Touchdown, those are all things that are there. But there's alternative rule changes with conversions. There's alternative rule changes with the kickoff. I love how the XFL did the kickoff. If you didn't see it, go to Twitter and just type in XFL kickoff. That's a concept in of itself that's innovative enough that the NFL might. The NFL might take note of it, but they're not trying to be the NFL. I saw some of the criticism. Hey, there's not 32 NFL caliber quarterbacks in the NFL. And then when you add second team quarterbacks, third team quarterbacks, quarterback play is going to be down in this league. And I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I don't think I can get on board if that makes this a bad product. If you're a fan of football, you're going to watch it. I'm that guy that August rolls around. I'm so hungry for football. I'll watch whoever, you know. If the MAC is playing, if the Sun Belt is playing, when we hit, you know, the first week of September, I'm going to watch games. And if you ever watch these lower tier conferences, not a lot of great quarterback play. You ever watch Conference USA? Remember the old Mountain West? The American Conference? Not a lot of great quarterback play. But we still watch it. So the fact that there's not across the board NFL caliber quarterbacks starting on every team, that doesn't mean that the product's not good. Again, we're not, they're not trying to be the NFL. By the way, Cardale Jones, for what it's worth, had a pretty good debut as well at the quarterback position. We're going to see Landry Jones next week. So there's reason to tune in. It's just what it comes down to is it's not about whether this is something that can duplicate what the NFL does as much as it's, is this something that I'm interested in? And that's what we're going to see. So we're going to jump on that. Now, locally, Bob Stoops. I mean, there should be enough just right there with Bob Stoops. And then when Landry Jones starts, I mean, you've got a trio of Oklahoma players on that team that you're going to be watching. Oklahoma fans. So I think Bob Stoops lost on Sunday. So is that gonna make more people tune in this coming week? I think it will. Because Sooner Nation wants to see Bob Stoops win. And so they're gonna be tuning in. They lost a defensive game. If you're watching the Renegades and you're really kind of breaking this down from an analytical perspective, defensively, they did pretty good. They gave up 15 points. When you look at across the league average, not bad, but offensively, they only scored 9. Now, they didn't have Landry Jones. They had Philip Nelson playing, 33 of 42 for 209 yards. He did throw an interception. But this team didn't even hardly try to run the football. I don't know that St. Louis is that good defensively. I don't think anybody knows anything about the XFL after 1 week. But I do know Dallas only attempted to run the ball 12 times. Now, you got Hal Mumme, the kind of the innovator of the spread offense. That's who discipled Mike Leach, who discipled Lincoln Riley. And he's calling the shots for the Dallas offense. And we know Landry Jones can sling the ball. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens next week. Because two things. Here, I'm going to give you two reasons to tune in next week. Reason number one, Landry Jones. You want Bob Stoops to get that win, right? And you got a former Sooner quarterback who can probably deliver the goods. And the reason number two is because LA, after one game, they just fired their defensive coordinator. They were just rocked by Houston to open up the season. So they've fired their defensive coordinator after one game. So that opens the door to a big possibility for Dallas Renegades to have a pretty explosive day offensively. And with that, I've already discussed XFL football way longer than I thought I would.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On the recruiting front, Oklahoma also picked up some good news this week. You know, look, 2021 is still very much a work in progress. The Sooners right now have 3 commitments for 2021, and we'll talk about that here in just a second. But a couple of guys who are at the top of their position groups are trending a little bit towards Oklahoma. One of those guys is offensive guard. His name is Bryce Foster. It goes by The Mountain, Bryce The Mountain Foster. Out of Katy, Texas, currently has 23 scholarship offers. He's the top offensive guard for the 2021 recruiting cycle. Rivals has him as the number 9 overall prospect nationally. he released his top five, and included in that top five was Oklahoma. Now, the Sooners' competition there, if that top five holds true, Oklahoma's competing with Texas A&M, University of Texas, LSU, and Oregon. Now, being from Katy, Texas, the experts have him as a slight lean towards Texas A&M. But I would really think out of that group of five, again, it's just me. Granted, I am biased, but out of that group of five, if you're one of the top offensive linemen in the country, and you want to further your career beyond college into the NFL, in that group of five, there's not a better place to prepare for that than the University of Oklahoma. Bill Beedenbaugh is just a staple for preparing guys and putting offensive linemen in the NFL. In that group of five, there's not a person with a better track record. Now, LSU redoing their offense, retooling it with Scott Linehan on board now as the passing game coordinator. Tyler Tettleton, former Oklahoma kid, not University of Oklahoma, but Norman, Oklahoma standout, joining the LSU coaching staff on the offensive side of the ball. So they're still trying to get their ducks in a row, so to speak. And so I can understand why LSU might be on the outs with that. But really, I mean, A&M and Oklahoma, you're an offensive lineman. You're trying to figure out what to do next, how to better prepare yourself for the NFL. Again, I'm completely biased in this, but I don't think that disproves my point that there's not a better place than Oklahoma for offensive linemen. And there's not a better place in Oklahoma for quarterbacks as well. And the top dual threat quarterback in the nation is trending towards Oklahoma as well, per 24/7 Sports. Caleb Williams out of Washington, D.C. also has 23 offers. Right now, 24/7 Sports has him projected to go to the University of Oklahoma with some of the same players in competition. You got LSU there, you got Oregon there, you got Penn State there. Some of the front runners looking for Caleb Williams. Recruiting analyst Steve Wiltfong from 24/7 Sports has predicted Williams as of this moment to be a heavy Oklahoma lean. Here's what he writes. He says, while I'm riding with the Sooners right now, I could easily flip back to LSU depending on who the Tigers hire to replace offensive whiz Joe Brady. Now, we know, we just mentioned that Scott Linehan has been given that job, and no question Joe Brady was a better fit there than what Linehan will be. I also think there's no question there that the advantage goes to Oklahoma when you're comparing offensive staff now between the Tigers and the Sooners. Wiltfong goes on to say they were the clear team to beat following the visit to Baton Rouge. Speaking of LSU, Brady taking a job with the Carolina Panthers changed the dynamic and opened the door for Oklahoma, with Lincoln Riley keeping in nearly daily contact. They'll return to Norman in March. Clemson and Oregon and Penn State are also still in the thick of his recruitment, a recent visit to see Dabo Swinney and company move the needle. End quote. Now this kid, Caleb Williams, he's got 4.5 speed. He can throw the ball 70 yards. I mean, he's the real deal. And don't forget, this is Oklahoma up until January 1st had Brock Vandergriff as their quarterback for the 2021 cycle, lost Vandergriff to Georgia because Jake Fromm's heading to the NFL. And when Vandergriff lands on campus next year, maybe even next spring, I don't know what his status is going to be for that, but Vandergriff's going to immediately compete to get on the field. Caleb Williams now can slide into that spot and be Oklahoma's 2021 quarterback, and would be a pretty good one considering what Lincoln Riley has been able to do with dual threat guys recently like Kyler Murray and Jalen Hurts. So something to keep an eye on with the 2021 cycle officially underway and starting to get into full swing. Of Oklahoma's three current commitments for 2021, two are on the offensive side of the ball and one on the defensive side of the ball. You got wide receiver Cody Jackson out of Richmond, Texas. You got Colin Montgomery, who just made his commitment a couple weekends ago at Junior Day. He's out of Bel Air, Texas. And then you got an Oklahoma kid, Ethan Downs, with defensive end from Weatherford, Oklahoma. Sooners right now, I mean, not ranking I mean, so far out. I mean, we're talking 11 months, 12 months, really, until all this finalizes. But right now, the Sooners, with three guys in the class, Oklahoma ranks 21st nationally by 24/7 Sports and number 3 in the Big 12 by 24/7 Sports. Long ways to go in this, but one thing to note of these two guys that I just mentioned that are trending, Bryce Foster and Caleb Williams, both of those guys are 5-star guys, and that could 100% change the outlook of this recruiting class. Another big story on the recruiting front is outside linebacker Colby McKenzie, who announced on Wednesday that he will be graduating in May. Why is that significant? Well, the 6'3", 227-pound outside linebacker currently is Oklahoma's only commitment for the 2022 recruiting cycle. If he graduates in May, he reclassifies for the 2021 recruiting cycle, and now he becomes a part of that class, which currently has 3 members. He would become the 4th member of that class. Listed by Rivals as a 4-star linebacker, McKenzie is the number 1 rated outside linebacker currently for the 2022 class and the number 2 overall player from the state of Texas in 2022. Kid's young. He only holds 9 scholarship offers, but has been committed to the University of Oklahoma and would remain so, by all accounts, would remain so even if he reclassified for 2021. That gives Oklahoma a huge boost for the 2021 recruiting cycle to land a 5-star linebacker of his caliber to bring him in. He would be young, of course, but he would give, you know, Alex Grinch an extra year. You kind of have he's a pass rushing specialist. Caleb Kelly, if you will, would give Alex Grinch some extra time with him to continue to work on his frame, continue to work on his technique, and get him really grounded in the system before he launches him on the field. Even if he comes in 2021, I would not expect to see him until 2022, which is when you were supposed to see him anyway, but he'll just be better than what he would have been had he waited to be a part of the 2022 recruiting cycle.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Oklahoma has set the date for the annual spring football game, so you'll want to mark your calendars for Saturday, April 18th. Program announced that more details will follow as spring practice. I mean, we're mid-February, so we're right in the thick of this. Spring practice is going to be getting underway here shortly. And now everybody has a different opinion, a different position, a different idea of what they're looking for in the spring. But for me, it comes down to three things. Three things that I really want to look at with Oklahoma spring ball. And it starts with the quarterbacks. Now, Lincoln Riley is dead set that this is going to be an actual quarterback competition between Spencer Rattler and Tanner Mordecai, despite the fact that everything else points otherwise. Rattler seems to be the unquestioned leader of this team. Rattler is the guy that the media, I don't want to use the word panders, but the media covers a lot. I mean, you're seeing a lot on Twitter right now, Spencer Rattler on the break, working out and doing quarterback camps and making crazy throws and actually crazy catches as well. Don't believe me, just go to Twitter and type in Spencer Rattler's name and see what pops up. You're not hearing anything about Tanner Mordecai. Now, that could mean that Tanner Mordecai has just got his head down and you know, to the grind and working it out, getting ready for the spring. But I really think what that means is Tanner Mordecai is the quarterback. And we've talked about this. We've talked about it extensively over the last several years. You knew Baker Mayfield when he left. Well, actually, when he was in the competition, you knew he was going to be the starting quarterback. And then when he left, you knew it was going to be Kyler Murray. And when Kyler Murray left, you knew it was going to be Jalen Hurts. And now everybody just kind of knows it's going to be Spencer Rattler. And even at that, this is still going to be labeled as a quarterback competition. And I've got no problems with that because I don't want anything given away. You don't get the job because of the number of stars beside your name coming out of high school. You don't get the job because of the number of Twitter followers you have. You get the job because you earn it in competition. And I understand that. I support that completely. But that said, it's going to take a miracle for the starting quarterback next September to be anybody other than Spencer Rattler. And I want to know just how big is the distance? How big is the gap between Spencer Rattler and Tanner Mordecai? And there's some out there who just say, I'm not interested. I know it's going to be Spencer Rattler. That's all I want to know about is Spencer Rattler. And that's okay, except for the fact, the old cliche goes, Tanner Mordecai is always just one play from getting in the game. So what do you have in Tanner Mordecai? What do you have in your QB2? I want to know. I'm curious about that. So I'll be watching the quarterbacks. The other position I'm going to be watching this spring is the defensive tackles. I think when you look at the health situation of Oklahoma's secondary and in the linebacker core, particularly with Caleb Kelly, I think the second and third levels of the defense are going to be better than what we saw in 2019. Another year with Alex Grinch, another year, with Brian Odom, another year of experience in this new speed defense system, they can't help but get better. And then you put the influx of new talent, both of those positions, and you've got something going. But as I've said all the time, and you've heard me say it if you listen to the podcast, by the way, again, thanks for listening, doesn't matter how good your defensive backs are. You could have Deion Sanders back there. If you can't wreak some havoc up front, and if you can't really just make a push with your defensive line, get pressure on the quarterback, it doesn't matter how good your defensive backs are. Oklahoma's brought in the top two JUCO defensive tackles in 2019. They're already on campus. Perrin Winfrey was the number one rated junior college defensive tackle. Josh Ellison was the number two rated junior college defensive tackle. I want to see those guys. I want to see what they can do. I want to see how much push they can have. What is it going to be like in 2020 not having Neville Gallimore in the middle? What can we get from those guys? What kind of glimpse can we get from them? So that's the second thing I'm going to be watching. I think, again, all things considered, I think the defense takes another step towards improvement in 2020. But how big of a step, how significant is that step, is going to rely heavily upon Winfrey and Ellison. So I want to look at them in the spring. I want to see how quick are they off the snap? How powerful are they on the rush? Can they split the gap? Can they take a double team? Those are the things that I'm wanting to know. And then finally, there's 10 guys. There's 10 guys on campus right now that are part of the 2020 recruiting class. Seth McGowan, a four-star running back. Marvin Mims, a four-star receiver. You've got DJ Graham and Michael Henderson. Both of them are heavily recruited as athletes. We'll solidify for sure which side of the ball that they're going to be on, I think, in the spring. But how do these 10 newbies fit in for 2020? Are any of them destined for a red shirt? I think Marvin Mims is a beast. I think he's a really, really talented wide receiver. And the fact that he's on campus for the spring and this receiving corps is going to be so young as it is going into next fall, does he have a shot to be a contributor in 2020? Now, the jury's out on that. It's way, way too early to figure that out. But what we do know is that spring ball will give us an indicator. So those are the things I'm looking for this spring. Again, Oklahoma spring game set for Saturday, April 18th. No kickoff time announced yet. Also, there's always things that are going on. There's going to be announcements as far as there's a concert. There's going to be announcements. There's been rumors that Baker Mayfield's Heisman Trophy statue is going to be revealed. I don't know. I guess when the university tells us, we'll talk about it. But that's it for spring football 2020. Lon Kruger and company with another huge win, at this time 90-61 over Iowa State. Makes you just wonder, just stop for a second and think, what happened in Ames? How did this team lose to that team? The only answer to that is, well, it was Ames. Ames, Iowa during basketball season is the Lubbock, Texas of football season. Crazy things happen, but Oklahoma back in Norman, tight game in the first half. Sooners take a 40-36 lead into the locker room at the halftime, but Oklahoma just completely decimates the Cyclones over the final 20 minutes of the game, outscoring Iowa State 50-25. 90-61 is the final on Wednesday night. If you're looking for the difference between the first half and the second half, the answer is Alondis Williams. Scoreless in the first half, Williams went off for 14 points in the second half to kind of get the route going. All five of Oklahoma's starters scored in double figures, led by Kristen Doolittle with 20 points. Brady Manick had 18, Austin Reeves and Jamal Bienemy with 12. And then 14 points for Williams, as I already mentioned. Now, if you're looking for a glasses half empty type approach to this game, there is one thing. Not to be that guy, but I'm going to be that guy. There's one thing. Oklahoma's bench only scored 14 points in the game. You got five guys come off the bench and play. 14 points is what the bench scored. And 10 of those 14 points came from Devian Harmon. So that means three out of your five bench guys didn't produce any points. Is that something that bothers you as this team moves forward? Or is it just something where you look at the Bedlam win, you look at the win over West Virginia, you look at the win against Iowa State on Wednesday night, and you think this team, they're starting to come together. People know their roles. People know, you know, who the unquestioned leader is with Kristen Doolittle and then Brady Manick. Alondis Williams comes in and does something that no one expected him to do, but he takes the pressure off of Manick and Doolittle. But do you like where this team is? Sitting at 16-8 on the season. They're above 500 in conference play at 6-5. I mean, you're four games away. You got to find four more wins. And the next two games are going to be brutal. Oklahoma's in Lawrence, Kansas on Saturday to face the Jayhawks. And then they come home Tuesday for the top-rated team in the country in the Baylor Bears. But then you got, I mean, we've talked about this schedule before. We've broken this down here on the podcast as well on the website. But you get past those two games, you kind of hope for the best. You hope for the miracle upset. But you get past those two games and you're looking at Oklahoma State for Bedlam round two, Texas Tech in Norman, at West Virginia, Texas in Norman, and at TCU. The question is, after these next two games, can Oklahoma put four wins together? And keep in mind, they also have the Big 12 tournament to try to make something happen as well. I still say you got to get to 20. If Oklahoma gets to 20, they're in. The win over West Virginia kind of gave them the marquee win that they needed to get to the top half of the bubble. Now they're waiting. The win against Iowa State keeps that momentum rolling. They've won three of their last four games, and then all three wins have been by double figures. And you only had an 8-point loss to Texas Tech sandwiched in there. An 8-point loss in Lubbock, that kind of makes you think the game in Norman is winnable. We'll have to see how that plays out, but you got to get to these next two games first, at Kansas and then against Baylor. Not going to be easy when your next two opponents are ranked in the top three. That lets you know the road ahead is not going to be smooth. But again, beyond that, I think there's probably four wins left on the schedule, and this is a NCAA tournament team. That's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks so much again for being a part of the Sooner Nation podcast. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Hit us up on Twitter, at Sports Heartland on Twitter. Hit us up, email us, sportheartland_sports@yahoo.com. And as always, we got content going at the website, Oklahoma Sooners, Dallas Renegades. If you're into it, we've got it. Heartland-sports.com is where you can find us. Have a fantastic weekend, everybody. Boomer Sooner.